It's a habitation where God lives through his Spirit, where God wants to dwell here. It's a rich promise, and we can trust him. If our heart is that way, we know that God wants to live here. He tells us that. And another point I'd like to make is that in today's age, it's more about individualism than it is the corporate body of Christ. The emphasis is on, I want to do it my way, and I will tell you that that won't turn out right. We've seen much evidences, you know it as well as I do, but that don't end well. But if we're willing to surrender to these principles, we can have a righteous ending and also endure until the end. Not be led away with all kinds of things. So that's just a, and then the reason I recap that is Paul in the chapter 3, the writer, I hesitate to say Paul, but this is the voice of God. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, Paul, as an individual, spent much time in prison, but that never became his lamenting or he was never sorry for himself. Instead, he rejoiced at his ministry that God had given him. You'll read later on here. And he said that if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. In other words, Paul understood clearly that he was nothing more than an instrument of God. If you look at that word dispensation, there's a scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 9:16. This is Paul. Writing again, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, I'd like to just think about that word, dispensation. In other words, it's a responsibility that God gives, I think, to every believer that dispensation means an arrangement. God arranged your life and mine. An arrangement there's a charge given to us that we, when we see a situation, we should address it with God's word. And then, if Paul, let's just say it like this. If we don't address it with God's word, is God going to lay that to our charge? Paul says, if I do this thing willingly, I'm going to have a reward. If I do it against my will, that arrangement that God had planned for me is committed unto me. I'm going to be held accountable for not taking advantage of that God's arrangement. God arranges our life. We don't meet people per chance. God has arrangements for each one of us. As we go along life's pathway. So think about that, and I'm just speaking to myself there. A dispensation means an act or function of administering, an arrangement or arranging. The root word would be to give out, dispense, hand it out, share it, dispense it. Then the next verse, He reminds them that how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now the mystery of Christ, I think we can just say it in a few brief words here, was that in the Old Testament, when the Word of God began, there was always a word about a prophetic word of the Messiah that was coming. But the mystery here he's saying has now been fully exposed and revealed, that all men will be without excuse. There are several things that he alludes to as a mystery. One is that the Jew and Gentile would come together. The next one was that Christ was living in our hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. But these things have been fully revealed. And God, I believe that the heart of God is that if he is not willing that any should perish, but that every man would hear this mystery that Christ wants to live in the hearts and receive it with joy. It's that mystery, the Spirit of God living in man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's many words. Paul alluded to that many times, the word mystery. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." See, God had, his plan was in place. Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Colossians 2:2, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." I just think that there's sometimes that Paul always, he wrote, he alluded to that mystery just to, so that we can understand that now the things that were hid are open. Verse 5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." I'd like to think about that just a little bit. Now, Paul persecuted the church. He was very zealous. In the church's beginning, he was standing beside Stephen when they stoned him, the first martyr. He was standing there holding their coats. But he said that God made him a minister. He stopped him on the road to Damascus and said that he struck him down and asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who?" And then from that, Jesus told Ananias when he opened his eyes that he is a chosen vessel unto me. And then Paul just transformed. He became an instrument of God that he was the instigator of many churches. And then, but the next verse, Paul was clothed, he acknowledged that God made him a minister, Jesus Christ, that called him to the ministry. And then he said he was less than all the saints. "Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" I was thinking about that when Paul, and I think it was Barnabas, they went preaching in Acts. They spoke to the Jews, and the Jews refused it, and he said, "We're going to the Gentiles. You know, we told you that we give you the words of life, and if you refuse it, we're going here." And the verse 9 here is, I'd just like to encourage each one of our hearts here, is that Paul said these words. He said, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." That was his heart, to make all men see. Is that our heart today? To make all men see. "Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Just a few words on that. In Colossians 1:15 and 16, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." I think that, I don't know how to explain that verse. Who is, just speaking of Christ, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." All things. "And he is before all things." He is in front of all things, and by him all things consist. They're held together at this moment by his power. That's by him that everything is held together. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That corresponds with he was the firstborn of every creature. He had a part in my birth, and he had a part in your birth. That creation, he was the part of the creator. I don't know how to explain it. We'll just let God be true there and let the word stand by themselves. And then we have the reason. God's intentions here. To the intent, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The word principalities, we don't use it much today. It means sovereignty. Maybe I'm saying sovereignty would be how to say that. One definition, supreme power, the territory of a prince. Superiority, predominance. It says, you know, that the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I think a few, I'd like to turn maybe back to verses come to my mind here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Josh had that message last Sunday on unity. And there was some verses there talking about the body of Christ and the unity. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody, to profit with all. And as we see that the manifold wisdom of God, manifold, you know what manifold means. It means, maybe a little illustration here, but a manifold, we all know that we've seen manifolds on tractors and cars and you know what else, but there's many things, but a manifold is like that. I think that's a rough drawing, but a manifold wisdom of God, you know, the wisdom's coming down and it goes into here and 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 here, which is the body of Christ. I think that's an accurate illustration. The manifold wisdom of God. Now, the question I have, not a question, I don't have a question on that, I just have a comment on that can you have that wisdom outside of that principle? The manifold wisdom of God might be made known unto the church. That's the body of Christ blending and working together. That a brother here sees something I don't, one over here sees something I don't. That we bring it to the body of Christ, you make it known. And that's how we partake of the manifold wisdom of God by his Spirit. It says it'll be made known to the church, by the church. That's a rich promise. Then, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's that word again, according. What does according mean? That means with. It means, what was that definition? I have it back here, I think. Well, remember in verse chapter 2, it says we walked according to the course of this world. We were walking together. We were bound together, but here it says that we can be according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be together with that principle. We can be according to, with according means walking beside each other, of one accord. And then we can have, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. There's a promise that lets that God has an open accessibility. Access means to, you can get to him. You can actually reach him. He's available. Access. Access with confidence. Not just go to him, but we can trust and go with the assurance that God is available for my needs when we ask him. We have boldness. That boldness means to don't hesitate. Come right away. I'm available. It's open. With confidence by the faith in him. Then in verse 13 he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul's saying, don't look at my situation. Don't worry. Don't look at me being in prison here. That's fine. Let that go. But for you, which is my glory, my tribulation. You know, he was actually, some of the things he suffered was for the church. I mean, he was preaching the word, and they tried to get him out of the way, and they put him in prison for it. But he said, don't worry about that. It's for your glory. And then Paul here, I don't think I've seen this as clear as I did here this time. I've read it many times, but he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins a prayer. And he's praying for the church. Then I had to ask myself this, how often, I wonder if each one of us would make it a point. I'm not saying that you don't. But make it a point to specifically pray for this church, the body of Christ here at Concord. Lift it up in prayer. It's not that it is what Philip talked about this morning. When Hezekiah said, Lord, we need some help. And the angel of the Lord come down and smote the captains of the army, of the opposition. How much more would God answer us today? Remember that word access? We can come to him with boldness and confidence. Let's make it a point in our life to pray for this church, that we might be holy and be an example and a true witness upon this earth, this area that we live in, this body. We can do it with boldness. Look what he promises here. He's praying for the church. That he of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth and height, the promises. That you may be able to comprehend means to understand, that you would have the understanding to know how wide it is, how long it is, and how deep it is, and how high it is. That sounds like a lot. It sounds big. But God says that we can do that. We can comprehend. Do I pray in that manner for the church here? And to know the love of Christ. Do I pray that, Lord, help me to know the love of Christ? which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is there more available? Yes. I don't believe we can ever say that we're full, we have enough, but let's pray that we might be filled with the fullness of God, that we can rightly discern the times that we live in, the wisdom of God to know how to make a decision and where that decision is going to take me or lead me, the consequences of a daily decision making. Where does it take me? And then he says that he's able to do far past what we can think. We can't even get a hold of it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, again, that together, to the power that worketh in us. Then what does he say? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus. It was just I think that is about all I have here this morning, but I would don't, well, there's another verse I wanted to mention here. Was in Acts chapter 20. This is where Paul went back to, he called the elders of the church together at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, and beginning in verse 17, I think I'm going to read that. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. They're with me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's how he departed there. But the verse I wanted to leave with us this morning is, that verse 32. And we go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and 3 there, that we are built together, we're fitly framed together. He says here, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." There's another promise. The grace of God is able to build us up and give us an inheritance. So I'll leave you with that. If there's something that was shared that is contrary to God's word, why, I'd like for you to make that known. God bless each one of you.